You're listening to Breakthrough Assembly Podcast. Here at Breakthrough, we don't judge, just build. Thank you for joining us. We hope that you hear from God and receive your breakthrough today. Enjoy the message.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Let's go ahead and open up in prayer. Father, we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, Father, for who you are. We thank you, Lord God, Father, for just giving us the opportunity, Lord God, to be in your presence today. Father, we thank you, Lord God, Father, for the free will, Lord God, that you've given us. And Father, we have chosen, Lord God, to be in your presence today. We have chosen, Lord God, Father, not only to hear your word, Lord God, but to give you, Lord God, our all today, Lord God. Father, we have chosen to give you a sacrifice of praise, Lord God. Father, despite whatever the day brought, Lord God, in spite, Lord, no matter how good or how bad, how tiring, Lord God, or restful we are, we thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity to give you, Lord God, our praise this evening, Lord God. Father, so we ask you, Lord God, to give us, Lord God, not only, Lord God, Father, what you know we need, Lord God, but give us, Lord God, Father, our assignment, Lord God. Give us that one thing, Lord God, that you know we need to have to be the best, Lord God, that we can be for tomorrow. We came here not wanting to leave the same, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God, Father, that when we leave here tonight, we will not be the same. We ask you for an impartation, Lord God, Father, for not only your word, but your spirit, Lord God. Father, we ask you to dwell in us, Lord God, and not allow us to stay as we were, but let us always be better because we were in your presence, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You guys can be seated, get comfortable and relax as we get into this word this evening. We're glad that you all came to be a part of what God is saying this evening for us and what he's doing even in this season. So as we prepare to get into this word this evening. You know, when we said before that, you know, God is moving, we said before that it has begun, and there's a lot of things that has begun in the season, in the atmosphere, in this particular ministry, and we want to make sure that we are being mindful of what God has said. Amen. It's important to understand, to be mindful of what God says so that we can be not on guard, but ready when he says go. Amen. So I want to make sure that we understand that we're not just coming together on a Sunday and on a Wednesday just to hear another message. We're coming to hear the connection of the word of God. We're coming here for the dots to be connected so that we can continually progress in the things of God. Amen? And as we are connecting the dots and God is connecting us with our purpose, we want to make sure that we are mindful to constantly keep our ear open for what God is saying. Amen? God will give us a major thing on Sunday and give us minor things throughout the week. And so it's very important to understand, don't miss out on the minor things. He gives the big thing, you know, for Sunday, but he continually talks to us to keep us on the path for those slow turn left, turn right. Amen. Don't answer the phone to that person. Pick up the phone for that person. Do you understand what I'm saying? Amen. Pray on this. He'll give you someone to pray on. Amen. He'll give you a topic, again, not to talk about, but to pray for that person. God is building up intercessors. He's building up people who will know how to pray for people. So when God puts someone on your heart or in your mind, it's not just for you to talk about them. It is for you to pray for them. Amen. And he wants something to be loosed on earth. So he will give that thing to us that's coming from heaven. Amen. So always be ready, as the Bible says, be ready in season and out. And last but not least, make sure, because what God has said, it has begun. Make sure that we're not so busy being busy that we can't be available for what God has said. Because I want you to know the spirit of distraction is really going on rampantly in this season. And I want to tell you, and I want to prepare you in this season that there is what I'm going to call false emergencies going on in the spirit realm. And what that means is that it's an emergency for somebody, but it's not an emergency for you. And I need us to understand we have to, and this is why we need to be mindful of what God is saying so we don't get duped into what the world is saying and what everybody is saying. You know, I'm going to just ask you, Breakthrough, I can only ask this ministry, be very careful being on social media in this season. Be very careful on your Facebook and Instagram. Be careful feeding yourself with things that's going to make you so slowful. And you're going to get full off of things. It's like getting full off of junk food. It's not a healthy full. It's not going to get you to progress in the way that God wants you to. You're full, but not of anything that's vibrant. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So in this season, in order, it's very difficult to be mindful of God when the voices of others are in our ear. Okay, and so much is going on. I want you to be careful for that spirit of distraction that's coming around to get you distracted and busy doing so many things and so caught up in what I call the me-isms. Things is going on around us, and it's about this, about me, and this, about me, and this, that we're not hearing what God wants from us. Amen. Because I want you to understand, and I don't know who this is for, we don't want to get so caught up and consumed with things that we're asking God for things, but we can't hear what God wants us to do with the things that he's put in front of us. Are you getting this tonight? Amen. So whoever that is for, I pray you receive that. You just don't jot a note down that you're not going to read. But what God is saying is purposeful. What he's saying is purposeful. So what I want to really talk about tonight is being the impossible. Being the impossible. I want to talk to you about being the impossible. Being the impossible. Say, I was created to be the impossible. You know, all things, the Bible says all things are possible to them that love him and are called according to his what? His purpose. So all things are possible for those that are called according, that love him, called according to his purpose. But you got to be called according to his purpose. And we understand, but again, not everybody wants to do this. Lay down your purpose for God's purpose for your life. Amen. I want to give you a little tip, Breakthrough, and I want you to really listen to your shepherd here. If people keep calling you and all they want to do is talk about what's happening to them, they're not living in God's purpose. I need you to understand, because the spirit of distraction is going on. If all their conversation is about what's happening to them, they're not in God's purpose. I need you to understand that. And I want you to know, even if people are close to you and they're constantly telling you about you, they're not in God's purpose. And I need you to understand, God is no respecter of person, and neither should you be. Are you getting this? We can't be so distracted. And I can tell you that as the shepherd of this church, because the spirit how can I say, distraction is going rampant right now, that everybody has something that's going on, and to them, it is a 10. Okay, but there can't be that many fires or the community would be burnt down. You understand? So some people are freaking out because they smell smoke and they're calling 911. Amen. When really, they just need to turn their pots down. It's not a fire. You'll get that later. The things they're brewing, you'll get that later. Things they're stirring up, they're causing, and they're seeing the smoke of things they're creating, and they're ready to call 911 for something that they're doing. And when 911 leave, they're going to turn the pot right back up again. I hope somebody understand what I'm saying. So sometimes you got to just drive past the house, say, oh, they just turned their pots up. It's not a real fire. You'll get that later. Amen. The spirit of distraction. People run around their own house screaming fire, and their pots are just too high. If they learn how to live, okay, I'll leave it alone. I think somebody got it. I can feel in the spirit if somebody received that. Okay, amen. And again, God is no respecter of persons, so neither should you be. Amen. So with that, let's get into this. I want you to go to the book of Matthew. Being the impossible. Have you ever been so tired you question, how are you still functioning? that's Pastor Bobby right now, okay? I don't even know. I literally believe that I have angels just under my feet, holding my feet up right now, amen? Because all I want to do is be not only on a couch, but in a bed with the good blanket, you know what I'm saying? The weighted blanket, you know, the weighted one, you know what I'm saying? To make you just get feel good. The weighted blanket to make you feel like you just ate a good bowl of soup, you understand? Okay. So right now I feel like I am being the impossible, because what I'm doing to me is impossible. Have you ever thought that you couldn't do something until you were doing it, and it makes you love God more because you're like, this is going past what I thought I was capable of doing. And sometimes God will let you go past exhaustion. I was asking somebody earlier, what word is past exhaustion? Because ding, 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 that's where I am right now. Amen. So smart people, you can throw a word at me, because I don't know what that word would be. It's not dead, because I'm still here. Back up off me. Matthew chapter 4, depleted is before. The exhausted, depleted, aspirated. Exasperated. Yes, I'm exasperated. Yes, I'm depleted. But the thing is, the good thing is, when you're exasperated and you're depleted, then the Holy Spirit can fill you up. Amen. And when you say I'm on fumes, the good thing is when you're on your own fumes, then the Holy Spirit can fill you back up. Amen. Matthew chapter 4. And see, this is the thing, that in breakthrough, we don't believe in excuses. We don't believe in excuses, so therefore, when you bring one to us, we won't bring you sympathy. That's why we're not the church for everyone, because some people are strictly calling you for sympathy. They only want you to, poor baby, oh my God. And when you don't give it to them, the conversation gets short, and they're like, they got to go. I'll call you back. Amen. So Matthew chapter 4, we're going to read verses 1 through 11. Then was Jesus led up to the Spirit, Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now he was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. He was led to be tempted by a spirit. I want you to understand what is going on, that you may not understand a lot about the spirit realm, but the spirit realm is alive and kicking. And in that thing, you have to understand, sometimes God will allow you to be tempted so that what's on the inside of you can come out. And so we have to understand, you say, why is all of this coming to me? Because it's time for you to step up to those things and to exercise your voice and the training that you have had. God will never hear me breakthrough. He will never, Paula, listen to what I'm saying. He will never let a spirit come over to you to overtake you unless he feels that you are ready to overtake it. In spite of how you feel physically. I need you to get this. In spite of how you feel physically. Stacey, are you listening to me? I don't care how tired you are. Asia, are you understanding what I'm saying? I know you got toddlers, but I want you to get this. I don't care how tired you are. I don't care if you can't even put your thoughts together. I don't care if you're so tired you can't even verbally articulate what you want to say because you can't even get it out. Even if you are in that state, God will never allow another spirit to come and overtake you. If he brings it, that is for him to show you, stand up, rise up, and show that thing that you are the head and not the tail. You have to understand what I'm saying. That is being the impossible. Sometimes God will allow us to get so weakened in him, when you are still filled in him, tired in him, vulnerable in him, weak in him, as long as you are in him. Now let me hit the pause button for a moment. When you get out of him and you're walking in the aftermath of what you walked in, you are no longer covered by the blood. And so those attacks aren't allowed by him. Those attacks are coming because you are free. Different. So when you're getting beat up by the enemy and you can't speak up for yourself, that means you've gotten out of God. Because when God is in you, you will rise up. And when what comes out of your mouth is the power of God. You'll know when you've gotten out of God, out of the will of God, when you're so beat up, so tired, and all of those things, and nothing godly will come forth. This is what the Bible says, and his strength is made perfect. Oh, see, you missed that word. It didn't say his strength is made good. It didn't say his strength is made well. The Bible says his strength is made perfect in your weakness. So, believers, you will be weakened eventually. You will get to such a weakened state that you'll think, I don't know if I can do it. And then God will say, dig deep and recognize who is on the inside of you. And what comes out of you won't be you. It will be what's on the inside of you, because this is the ecclesia, or the temple of the Holy Spirit. So when you are weakened, his strength is made perfect, because in your weakened state, he comes out of you and he speaks on behalf of you and he looks out for you and protects you. But he can't look out for anything or protect anything if you've walked out of him. Hallelujah. So we'll understand when, this is why I said, when people are constantly talking about what's going on with them and they're not talking about what's going on with God, that is the indicator that they've walked out of the assignment of God, out of the will of God, out of the provision of God, and it's all about them. There is nothing you'll be able to tell them. There is no way you'll be able to encourage. And it's nothing worse than giving somebody a pep talk, because if you give them a pep talk, they're going to need to get pepped up in a moment's notice. It's nothing worse to get ransacked by somebody who constantly needs a pep talk. That's exhausting. What you want is somebody to come to you in a weakened state, still in Jesus, saying, I want you to come in agreement with me in the spirit realm. And so that when two or three are gathered together in his name, he's in the midst of it. But when two or three are gathered together and talking about a pep talk, Jesus isn't there, because he doesn't want you to be a cheerleader and he doesn't want to be your cheerleader. He wants to be your God. And he wants you to be faithful, even in your weakness. Hallelujah. Being the impossible is showing the impossible. God will show how things are impossible with you as long as you stay with him. God's never looking at how bad it looks, because to God it doesn't look bad. I wish I had a witness. I wish I had a witness. You missed that. You missed that. That'll change your life right there. God isn't looking at things like you are. God isn't looking at it like it's bad. Why? Because it doesn't look bad unto God. Why? Because he sees it as well. This is why, even in our time where when we weren't living the way God wanted us to live, he still looked at us as what he created, not as what we were. He's always looked at us the same way, as his beautiful creation. Even in our worst times, he saw us as beautiful. In our worst conditions, he saw us as beautiful. You know, when we gave our life to God, he still saw us the same way. He didn't look at us as more beautiful because we gave our life to us. He looked at us as we were just as beautiful, even when we were in a sinful condition. What we were doing was bad, but we didn't look bad unto him. Oh, Jesus, I wish you understood. And that's the beauty of the Father. And so being the impossible is showing what we are capable of only through him. When he says all things are possible, that's you. When he says all things are possible, that's you. I am possible. We don't say that enough. I'm possible. I am possible. When's the last time you've heard that? I am possible. What is possible? Me, I am possible. There are possibilities with my name on it. Possibilities with my name on it. Things that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. The things that what God has for me. I haven't even heard of what God wants to do with me. I haven't even seen what God wants to do. So why would I limit my capabilities based on my intellect or what I'm capable of understanding? He's beyond my understanding. So I give myself to him to be the possible for someone else to see. Hallelujah. Back to 4. Verse 1, Matthew, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry. He was hungry. In other words, physically, his body had finally gotten to the point that it was in need for nourishment. Finally, sometimes God will allow us to get in such a weakened state that we have to decipher who are we going to allow to be louder, the hunger of our body or the voice of the Lord. What are we going to feel, the pain coming from our body or the peace that comes from God? Sometimes he will allow the volume to be the same and let us choose which one we will hear over the other. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we have to understand God sometimes will allow us to be led and tempted to find out what's going to come out of us. Hallelujah. What we are believing God to do or what our flesh is declaring God's capable of doing based on our own fleshly understanding or our past that is behind us. Are you getting this? Verse number 3, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, oh my God, I love it. Are you reading this with me in Matthew chapter 4, verse 3? Are you getting this? The tempter, this is why I try to tell you all the time, you give him way too much credit. He is the best bluffer there ever was, but he's just a bluffer. All he does is bluff in hope that you don't have enough hope or faith to believe past his bluff. He's hoping that you're like Jesus, so weakened, all you hear is the hunger, and you just want nourishment. You just want to be fed immediately. So whatever I got to do to get the quick fix is what I want. Oh, I wish I had a witness. Sometimes if he can get you to be alone so long, he just wants you to say the words, say you're lonely, say you're lonely, say you're lonely, so I can send you anything. And you're taking. Say you're in pain. Say you're in pain. Say you're in pain. So I can give you any temporary thing to fulfill. Hallelujah. Say you're miserable. So I can bring anybody to say something stupid to make you laugh. And you'll think that was good. But you were just so desperate for laughter that anything came. And you took it as good. Hallelujah. Some of us, we fell for the okie doke. Because we wanted companionship so bad. And the first loser that walked past was somebody better than just us being alone. And we grabbed a hold of it. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, stop right there. There is no if, ands, and, nor but about it. You think the tempter didn't know who he was talking to? He knew exactly who he was talking to. If you be the Son of God, man, please. You know who he is. Put some respect on his name. You know he was talking to Jesus, the Son of God. Hallelujah. But he said, if you be the Son. He knew who he was talking to then, and he knows who he's talking to when he's lying to you. Oh, I wish I had a witness trying to tell you if you are really a child of God. He knows you're a child of God. If you're really saved, he know you're saved. I just had a fight with the microphone. I was like, him. I had to fight something. I was got aggressive for a minute. microphone had to, it's just, I know, Paul, it made me mad for a minute. Sometimes I get angry. Don't insult our intelligence. I fought too hard to get where I am. Don't you insult me. I will take my shirt off and show the stripes that's on my body of where I have come from. Don't try to come to me. You better call me a child of God. I done gave up too much for this. You better respect it. You know who I am. You know I'm not where I'm supposed to be, but you know I'm not going back to where I was with you. I need a witness in here. Y'all better help me get this message out. Then when a tempter came to him, he lied. Oh, he lied. If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. That's the problem. He's always trying to tell you, if you are really a child of God, make something happen. He's doing the same thing to you that he did to Jesus. I don't have to make nothing except for make you disappear after I rebuke you. But he answered and said, Jesus, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. I wish I had a church with me, because who's going to say man shall not eat? live by bread alone. Who's going to say man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth? Who's going to say that after they fasted for 40 days and their stomach is growling? Who's going to say the one thing that they want, it should be bread? And he's telling the enemy, don't come with me with none of that earthly stuff. You know Jesus wanted some bread, but he couldn't get bread right then because he had to prove a point. Sometimes the enemy will try to bring something to you that he think you desperately need. Companionship. Love. Falsely. Attention. Falsely. If you could recognize that a lot of times the enemy is bringing something to you, and all you need to do is call it what it is. Fake. This is fake attention. This isn't real stuff. This isn't genuine. Are you understanding what I'm saying? This is fake love. You can't love me unless I can see that you know how to love yourself. Until I can see that you know how to love yourself, you won't even get to the category of even being considered to be a loving partner with me. Are we getting this? As being the impossible. God is calling us to be the impossible so that other people can see all things are possible. Are you getting what I'm saying? Your life was called to be lived, having different ranges in it, ups and downs, so people could see when you were down and how God got you back up again, knowing it was only God, knowing you didn't have any friends for a while, knowing you might not have had a place to stay for a while, knowing that you didn't have a car for a while, knowing that you had to walk for a minute, knowing that you got real close with Rita, also known as RTA, knowing all of those different things, and then all of a sudden, suddenly, God decides, okay, you're ready, and I'm going to breathe on you a little bit. And the breath of God, once he gets on you, you smell real good. I told you before, God's breath must be amazing. The breath of God, when it blows on you, makes you smell even better. Hallelujah. Some of us, what you smell? You smell good, the breath of God. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Didn't I tell us before that we need to make sure that we are mindful of what God said? We're mindful of what God said, not mindful of how we feel, not mindful of what happened previously, not mindful of how I was ready to do something, but it didn't work last time, or I had faith last time, but it didn't work last time, or I gave my all last time, but it didn't work. Not mindful of the past, mindful of what proceeded out of the mouth of God. Not mindful of what man said to you. Not mindful of how somebody else lied to you. Not mindful that you believed what they said. No, I'm saying what God has said. Then the devil, in verse 5, then the devil taketh him into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. And he said unto him, if thou be the Son, you remember, here we go again. If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. He's telling Jesus what Jesus already knows. And this is the thing. He's telling you what you already know. It says in verse 7, Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You know, I like Jesus. Jesus was way better than Michael Jackson. Jesus was the original smooth criminal. And what I like about it is that Jesus, I love the way Jesus had a way of words. I love the way that Jesus knew how to backhand somebody verbally. Jesus was so articulate with his words. He was a worksman with his words. I mean, Jesus impresses me. When you read the Bible, and sometimes in the studying that I've done in the Bible, Jesus knew how to tell somebody off and put them in a place in such a way that he would leave out and you feel like, oh, okay. I mean, has anybody ever put you in your place that you thought you were about to tell them something and then you were ready and you were all clocked and ready to go and you thought you had to tell them and by the time they finished talking to you, you said, oh, okay. All right, then. So where do we go from here? Because the authority in what they said, you recognize they were right and you were all wrong. And you just need to go with your tail between your legs. What I like about that, if you're catching what I'm throwing at you in verse 7, he said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. What is Jesus telling him? The enemy kept lying to him and said, if thou be. So he said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So he's telling him, you know who I am, in a slick, cool way of giving him scripture to do it. Saying, you know who I am. Let's not play this game. Amen. When's the last time you said, you know who I am? Seriously, when's the last time you educated the devil and said, you know who I am? You know me. You know I'm no longer with you. You know I scare you. You know I'm getting better. You know I'm getting stronger. That's why you keep lying to me. That's why you keep bringing my ex. Amen. Or exes. Or that one from high school. Because he had a hook in me. In verse number 8, again, the devil taketh him up, third time, taking him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Stop right there. And the glory of them is not the glory of God. The glory of them is the riches of the sin. The riches of the sin. And so many times when people say, I can take you places. If you come with me, I'll be able to do some things for you. If you come over here, like a lot of times pastors will try to poach on other church members. And they'll say, you know, well, we have this over here. Oh, well, if you don't feel like you're growing over there, you know, we're definitely growing and prosperous over here. That's just a verbiage like the enemy use of saying you're going to get some benefits to this, not recognizing I have all things in store for me that I need. I don't need to go anywhere else to get them. Again, it says in verse number 8, again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high place and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world. Did you get that? All the kingdoms of the world. Are you getting this? I want you to understand what these scriptures are saying, the kingdoms of the world. There are kingdoms in this world. I need you to understand. There are levels in this world of different higher altitudes of false blessing. Did you get what I said? Different levels, different altitudes of false blessings. It seems like the grass is greener over there. Yes, you're going to get $2 more an hour at that job. Okay. But you're going to lose your relationship with Christ. it ain't about coming to church no more on Wednesdays and Sundays. Nope, sorry, I got to watch it on stream because I got to work. See, but again, so you are looking at it through the falsehood and the temporary aspect of looking at it as a blessing. That church is saying, yeah, come over here. You won't have to deal with that over here. But what they're not going to tell you is the stuff you're going to have to deal with over there. Amen. So they're kingdoms of this world. And when you recognize that, not all things that glitter is gold. Don't keep chasing those false blessings. God has called you to be the impossible, to show people who you used to be, how you used to be, and show them who you are now in Him. So when people look at you and they are astonished at you, and some of them angry with you, because I want to be honest. Some of them, they may not say it, or some of them are stupid enough to say it. There's always, you know, stupid people, you know. You can't get away from them. And some of them will be angry and not be sophisticated enough to hide it. And so some of you know what I'm saying. And they what they're feeling is, why you? Why you? What they're saying, why not me? Why were you picked? How did you get out of the hands of misery? Are you getting this? It says in verse number 9, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. 10, then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Now, I need you to understand a couple of things before we get out of here tonight. Number one, the enemy did not leave until Jesus stood firm into who he was and why he was who he was. Get thee out of my way, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. There's a thing, worship. Why do you do what you do? Because I worship the Lord. Why are you giving up some things that you don't have to give up? Because I'm worshiping the Lord. Why are you bypassing things you used to do? It's not killing you, because it's part of my worship unto the Lord. And well, where is it in the Bible that you have to stop doing that? It's not in the Bible. It's in my worship. And see, we don't have in this church worship lessons like some churches do. We don't teach you how to lift up your hands and squint your eyes and put your shoulders up halfway to look spiritual, because we all worship differently. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he says that thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. I'm serving the Lord in my worship. And when you stand up and you acknowledge that you're worshiping him, the enemy recognizes, well, if you're only going to worship and serve him, I guess you're not going to serve me anymore. And then he leaves. Hallelujah. But what that means, for me to be the impossible, I have to kill my flesh. It can no longer be about me. This is why I keep going back to this, as far as being the impossible. When people keep coming to you and it's all about them always, and they want to interrupt your time to tell you about their day, And all they want to do is it's the phone call, the quick, how are you doing? I've been praying for you. And then it immediately moves into, let's talk about me. I can't tell you enough, it's exhausting. So imagine how God feels when we come to him supposedly in spirit and in truth, but we're only coming to him saying, Lord, I need more. Nobody wants to be around an ungrateful individual that you're not even recognizing the blessing that you're standing in with your hands out for the future one. I did the dramatic pause so that you can see a lot on that and recognize that we're not grateful enough that we're in our right mind. Because so many people right now, without medication, can't keep their thoughts straight. Some of us was told to be on medication but didn't like the way it felt, and we walked off on it by faith, and it's only God is keeping. But we don't want to talk about it. But we will in this church. But we will in this church with a bottle with your name on it. That you won't take because you've taken the pills of the Holy Spirit, keeping your mind stayed when the doctor has suggested a pill and the counselor has suggested a pill and your flesh has suggested a pill. And God has said, but I just give me a minute. Jesus. The devil left him, and I want you to understand that the angel didn't come and minister unto him until he was done putting the enemy in his place. Did you get that? But the enemy was persistent, and this is what I need you to understand. Get away from that, why is this happening to me? Why is this picking on me? The enemy is doing his job. Now, you got to do yours. You got to know he's going to keep coming. And you have to know you will be ministered to, but you won't until you kick the devil out of the situation. Stop calling your pastor or praying for your pastor to hear from God while your pastor is praying for you to hear from God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Stop calling your pastor and saying, Pastor, hold on, let me put you on speaker. Can you tell the devil to get out of my situation? That's what we do to God. We call on him to put God on speaker to tell God, to tell the devil to back up off me. When God's given us the authority, that's being the impossible. I'm not even going to talk about doing the impossible. I'm saying being the impossible, what looked impossible for others, to give them the outlook to say, I want to be like them. What they don't know is, what they're really saying is, I want to be a believer. You want people to see you and say, I want to be like that. Good. Because what they don't know is they want to be a believer. It's our job to walk and show them the difficulties of life and to show them all things will work together for your good. When you love him and you're called according to his purpose, but you got to drop some of your purposes. As long as you want to keep playing those repeats, you'll never be able to hear these jams I'm hearing up here. Because you're on that woe is me rotation. Life is rough rotation. Listen, I don't want to hear those words coming through any speaker, let alone your mouth. So therefore, as long as that's what you're playing, we can't listen to the same. Are you getting it? Being the impossible is showing a difference. Being the impossible is showing a difference when everything is telling you that you can't be different. Hallelujah. You're supposed to be fruitful even in a drought. Where are my Joseph people at? You're supposed to be able to flourish even in a drought. Even when everybody else is drying up, there should be an increase with you. Because you're in the world, but you're not of it. So therefore, what's happening to the world shouldn't be happening to the believer. I understand that there's death all around, the sin all around, but there's prosperity with his name on it. Hallelujah. Are you getting what I'm saying? So this is what no weapon that is formed against me. That thing, the devil went to his shop and he formed that weapon specifically for me. All you're supposed to do is show him that he wasted his time. Because that thing that was formed against me, it certainly will not be able to prosper. Are you getting what I'm saying? Don't cry about the weapons. Don't even be upset about the weapons. If anything, you should take notice. You mean to tell me you had to take all that time to build that thing for me that's not going to work anyway? I must be a threat for you to have to get into that hot shop and to make that weapon for me that's not going to work in the first place. Amen? Are you getting this? There's nothing that can take you off the path that is designed for you if you hold on to your belief in his word for your life. You got to hold on to his word for your life. I said, hold on, hold on, hold on, and not let anybody, anything loosen your grip of what you're holding on to. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying? I don't know how long I've been talking. I don't have a clock, so, you know, I'm out of control. Don't even start it now because I'm done. But I want you to understand. You know, there's so many times. Wife, can you come here for a minute? Just come up here. Okay, so I'm holding. Let's come up here. We slim. We can both stand up here. Okay, so I'm holding on. Okay. God has given me a lot of promises. But she's going to represent those that can't seem to hold on to hers. So she's going to try to tell me how bad things are. So as she's telling me how bad she is, really try to take my promise out of my hand. No, seriously, try to take my promise out of my hand. Sometimes people will come close to you. And as they're telling you about their sorrows and problems and how bad things are, what they're trying to tell you is that God's not capable of doing what he said he's going to do for you. And it has to get to a point that you say, well, just because you're not allowing it to work out for you don't mean you're going to steal the joy that I'm holding on to or the peace that I'm holding on to you. And eventually, when you look and find out, wait a minute, you're not here to give me anything. You're here to take from me. And then you got to say, get away from me. I'd have picked her up if she fell. You got to remember, and then sometimes your promises end up looking like this, all smashed up because you've been fighting with people close to you, trying to take you away from what God has said unto you. This thing used to look like this when it was first given. Now your promise is like this. Because people don't believe that all things are possible for them. And they want to give you their woe is me's. And their woe is me's end up making your promises look like this. God is a good God. God is a good God. God is faithful. He's faithful. The issue is, we're not so faithful. We go off the map of what God told us to do. We stop doing what he told us to do. We get impatient. He told us don't be anxious for nothing. Because we're anxious, we start doing things. But we think the church didn't see what we're doing, so we still think we're okay, forgetting God sees everything. So we come to church looking broke, busted, and disgusted, and everybody can look at us and see we are a hot, bubbling mess. Amen. And we're so weakened, we can't even hold the word of God. So we leave ready for another ear to hear what we have to say. And we just want to keep saying, but we can't hear what thus says the Lord because we're too full off of the junk food. Because all we've been feeding ourselves is the woe is me and the struggle. That God didn't feed you, woe is me, and God didn't feed you the struggle. the attacks were planned and God's intention was to allow you to speak back to the enemy. He didn't expect you to sit down and eat with the enemy so that now the enemy has two people saying lies, him and you. He intended for you to rebuke the enemy of the lie so the lie would stop. He didn't mean for you to agree with the enemy and duplicate the lies. Just because it's bad over there doesn't mean it's bad over here. And just because it's bad over there doesn't mean I'm called to leave where it's good to go over there where it's bad. The just shall live by faith. And if we're both not living by faith, how can we both produce what God wants us to have? When the Bible says it's impossible to please him without it. If my decision isn't because of what God said, I should have the faith to believe in what God said, and my actions is really to follow through in what God said, not to have faith saying, well, I'm just going to do this. If God didn't say do that, then that's not godly faith. That's just you taking a leap. And so many times we mistake taking a leap in faith. Faith is believing what God says. Leap is just moving quickly to a different spot. How many times have we leaped and said it was God to find out when we landed, God wasn't there? So what we want to recognize tonight is God has created us to be the impossible. But I want you to understand, being the impossible doesn't look great all the time. Being the impossible, there'll be a task. You'll be tired. You'll get attacks in the spirit realm. You won't have a lot of people that you can talk to. But man, will God bless the socks off of you and show you how to walk barefoot in the things of God. He wants you to be unrecognizable eventually. What did I say? I say he wants you to be unrecognizable, but the key word is eventually. We want to be unrecognizable immediately. We want God to blow on us and for us to say, I'm all fixed, I'm all done, I got all the money in the bank, no more problems. Stop reading that Bible, because that's a worldly Bible. Amen. You were chosen. You were handpicked. With your issues, he called you to be the impossible, not keep talking about what seems impossible. You're supposed to be the example to show others, with God all things are possible. With God all things are possible, not with that mindset that you had or with the falsehood that you had. Are you understanding what I'm saying? God wants to be able to use you to show the world he's still God. And that he handpicked you with the reputation that you had. He handpicked you with the struggles that you had. Handpicked you with the things you're still dealing with now, loving you some Jesus. Still dealing with fighting attitudes or fighting anger or fighting and tussling with the spirit of depression, loving God. Yes, he calls you. No, nothing's wrong with you except for you are a human being. And if anything is wrong with you, it's your anointing. It's so strong. But once you learn how to walk in your anointing, look out. Look out. Being the impossible. I need somebody to understand. I am possible. What the glimpse of what God has shown me, I'm possible. That is in me. It's possible to come out. So I'm going to do everything that I can do to make sure that it comes out and it does what God created me to do. In Jesus' name. When I take my last breath, I want him to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. He's not going to say, what took you so long? like we keep thinking he's going to say. He's going to say, well, well done. Not, man, whew, you were. Whew, man, it was touch and go for a minute. Amen. The enemy's job is to steal, kill, and destroy. But he said, but I've come for you to have life and life more abundantly. If you don't have your abundance, it's time to get it. Be the impossible. Let God let you be the impossible. Let him take your past and your reputation and show the world who you are in him now. Amen. Amen. Your past is not your enemy. The enemy wants you to hate your past so much that you don't use it for the testimony that God wants you to do. The enemy wants you to hate your past so much that you never talk about it. And the enemy wants you to bury your past because you're ashamed of your past. But you're ashamed of something that Jesus isn't. Because Jesus allowed that past and he's going to use it for your testimony to help others that resemble that past. Let them see that you're possible and they're possible because you're impossible. And because you're possible and that makes them possible, then that lets them know that all things are possible in him. And that will bring them to want what you have, which is him. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You wonder why some people that you talk to don't want what you have. That's because you're not showing what you have. But when people say, I want to be like you, I want what you have, you're showing God. Father, I thank you for being the impossible tonight. Showing us, you created us to show the world how great you are through us. We thank you, Lord God, for every difficulty that we have endured. We thank you for every battle that we have fought. We thank you that you have shown us that we're more than a conqueror. We thank you that when we didn't have common sense, we thank you that when we didn't have wisdom, we thank you, Lord God, when we were full of ourselves and you still loved us through it. You loved us through the ignorant times. You loved us through the rebellious times, Lord God. And you kept breathing in us, letting us know that you love us. For us to be the impossible, for others to see it's possible through you. And if you can do it with us and you're no respecter of a person, you can do the same thing through them. But we have to change our vocabulary, how we talk. We have to change our communication so we can say, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. We have to get the woe is me, doom and gloom out of our mouth so we can share the gospel, which is the good news of Christ. And we have to let people know how God is still working, how God is still moving. And not talk about the difficulties, but talk about what God has done and what he's doing in the midst of the attack. We thank you, Father, for it. We thank you, Lord, for all those under the sound of my voice. I pray that they can take this word and they run with it and they become a magnet and others are drawn to them. And as that happens, the multiplication will take place, Lord God, and we will build your kingdom in a healthy way, in a healthy way, showing everybody that there is no sin that can keep them away from the love of God, and that you still love them and you want them to be everything you created them to be, and there's still purpose for them, and you're not through with them. We thank you, Father, for that connection. We thank you, Lord God, for that life-changing connection. Use us, Lord God, as we give ourselves to you fully. No longer discouraged, but encouraged that you created us to do the impossible, to break the generational curses, to have a yes when other people in our family said no, to make things happen that other people in our family wasn't willing to do, but you're able to do it through us. Thank you. Thank you for showing us what impossible looks like. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Love somebody before you get out of here tonight. Amen. God bless.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that you received something and that you're one step closer to your breakthrough. Do us a favor. If you enjoyed this message, be sure to share it with your family and friends. And if you're looking for a way to support the ministry, visit the link in this episode's description to see how you can give today.